Hello and welcome to the Volunteer Firefighter Podcast. My name is Ash and I'm joined with two members of my firefighter family. We got Todd.
Hello.
And we have Scott.
Hey, family member.
That's right. Perfect. This might be try number three. And the last time I definitely called them just two buddies. So anyway, we are excessively exhausted. We're still kind of trying to catch up from our seminar weekend, which we are 1 week removed. I think tonight we're going to do a bit of a chat just on how everything went, how we felt everything went. We have gone through the entire event leading up to it, but there were some pretty interesting challenges that popped up, and we had to do a bit of a pivot. And I think everything ended up working. Pivot. I think everything ended up working out for the better. So, a brief overview before we get into our challenges. So we had just shy of 400 firefighters that were registered and attended on site. Awesome. There was about 85 different departments that were represented here, and they were majorly from British Columbia, but we did have some representatives from Alberta, from Washington State, and as far east as Ontario. And they actually came out with our friends from MODIS, and we'll chat about that whole scenario a little bit later as well. So all in all, with firefighters, instructors, vendors, we had over 500 people that kind of descended upon our community parks. We have a like multi-baseball diamonds. We have a community arena and a hall. And we basically take over the park starting Thursday afternoon. And then we try to give it back by Sunday evening.
In pretty good shape.
Usually in really good shape.
No, not even. Usually it's
in shape.
Scorched grass.
Yeah. So, like I said, this year we did have some hurdles that we had to overcome. Most of it was caused by Mother Nature in one way or another. So, yeah. What happened?
It was moist.
It was moist.
It was a coastal rain too. It wasn't like nice downpour rain. It was like coastal, like sit on top of us for like 2 days rain.
So normally in the past seminars, it's always been smoking hot, right? Yeah. Like we're looking for shade. You rip through your ice and water like crazy,
mm-hmm. Which we have now again.
Yes, which we're right back in to that now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this year it was pretty wet. Leading up to it was hot as well. Mm-hmm. A few things with that. We have that little creek that runs right through the middle of the event there. So with the runoff and the rain, it was turned into a swiftwater creek with some sandbagging. Yeah.
It was.
Well, even like I walked by at one point and we have the environmental emergency thing, which is like about spills in a creek. And I walked by and there's all these sandbags stacked there. I'm like, is that for our session? Cool. And I'm like, oh no, that's for the creek that's about to overflow its banks.
Yeah.
Awesome. So... And I actually did overflow its banks in the morning when I arrived at 6 in the morning on Saturday to start setting up. I'm like, I drive in and the parking lot is like, there's a river running through the parking lot. I'm like,
yeah, there's some debris that got built up, eh?
Took quick text to the chief and he got some town people down and they were like, they pulled out a bunch of debris from there. Mm-hmm. It's like a catchment basin and then it had clogged. Mm-hmm. But it was still breaching over like the bridges and stuff that we were.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, the biggest thing we had to change was the venue for the outdoor concert. We went indoor to the arena, which by all calculations has been like well over 40 years since, or maybe not well over 40 years, since a real concert. I was talking to somebody at the grocery store today. They're like, yeah, I remember back in the day when I was in grade 7. And they said, so he's like our age.
Sure.
He's like, well, you know, like there was a skateboard event and there was a band in there. I'm like, he's like, that one isn't a concert. He goes, I don't think there was ever a concert in there. So
there, so. The wife was talking to Earl about it.
Yeah.
And it was like 20 years ago.
Probably more than that.
Concert?
Which concert?
No, it was I can't remember the guy's name. It was a country guy that came.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that was when there was, what was that? That farm dance or whatever?
Oh, okay. Yeah. 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 So, that's true. It was that. Yeah. So it's been some time.
Oh, yeah. But that was last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically nobody that works at the parks was on the last time that that happened.
Right.
And there's some, you know, longer, you know, serving people that are still there, and they're like, yeah, since I've been here, this has never happened. So a few of them were there for the evening. They were either there working or they just came to enjoy it. And that's something as well. So we opened this nighttime concert to everybody. So you have the 500 people.
For 50 bucks.
For 50 bucks. Yeah. Most people were very, very happy to support and pay 15 bucks. There's a few that weren't, but that's okay. So yeah, we have the 500 people that after our banquet would generally walk outside and take a quick right, and you would be outside in the band shell, and there's some nice sunshades, and we were going to have Edison lights out there, mm-hmm. just some awesome ambiance, if you will, and obviously all of the lights and whatnot from the band. But with the weather, most people don't like to drink in a torrential downpour, which is on and off what we were having. Like, it was constant rain, and then like these like sheets of just rain would come in, and then it would let up a bit, and then it would hammer us again. But it was like constant precipitation, basically from like Thursday late straight on through. Like, we were loading in a little bit on and off on Friday. Like, it was overcast with a little bit, and then it just slowly got worse. And
I think Saturday evening it actually died off the night of the concert.
Yeah.
Yes. One of our guys comes up and says, are we moving back outside again? I'm like, no. Literally, the band is ready, about to play in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and I said also the ground is super saturated.
Yeah. We would hate to wreck any of the ground.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it was like 12 degrees out. I think it dropped off a lot. So,
yeah.
Again, people don't want to party in 12 degree weather that are, when they're not dressed for it. Like, you know, I know there's like events where you can. Like snow events and stuff, but
like, that's where that venue, it turned out to be awesome because, you know, a lot of years, the firefighters that, like, you know, were in our, kind of station gear and uniforms and stuff, mm-hmm. and they kind of trickle out after dinner and into the evening events. However, this year it was a good mix. Like, a lot of people went and changed. Some people dressed up. Some people came back, and it was a perfect temperature throughout the entire evening. And it was packed late.
It was,
Most people I've seen at our event late.
Yeah. Late.
Late. Yeah. Yeah, like usually you get like, you know, because we have our banquet and then you shift outside, like you'll probably lose, I don't know, 15%. Mm-hmm. You might start to lose those. A lot of the like elder delegates that are coming, like a party might not be their jam. They might come over for a bit because they get the entrance ticket for free. It's included with their purchase of the seminar package. So they might walk over and check it out, but they'll stay for maybe a beer. Oh, this is pretty cool. I got to be up in the morning. And then the following day, we're going to have to drive back to wherever we are. Obviously some of the elder delegates here. Literally everybody stayed and people just kept coming. Like, people from town, even we were like, 10 o'clock and we're like getting close to the end of the night and there's still people coming.
Yeah.
So it was, it was packed. There was a couple photos that went up. I think of like the thank you to our town.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you can see like our events also, there's not a lot of like dancing that goes on. Like, there's a pretty good like open space up by the band. And by the end of the night, like, people were pushed. It was a real concert.
There's a guy on stage. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, Scott switched on to
the old days.
The old Scott. He was ready to rock.
We're good though. We didn't.
Yeah.
Because who was playing?
Well, we had Tanner Olson.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So Tanner was up with the band again, and just an amazing show. Like, it was a phenomenal show. He, like, him and his band did our 100 year party here, which is really cool. And I think this event blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, the sound was dialed. Like, the boys were up there. They were playing so, so well. Hit on a lot of, like, a mix of songs. Like, they did all of their, like, classic, like, their classic country. And then just some cool rock. There was some Miley Cyrus came out. Like, I think he's got a couple like joke songs in his set. Man, it was an awesome show. Everybody I spoke to was like, I got to go and like get this guy on Spotify. Like,
that's sweet.
It was great. So,
And the stage was funny because, like,
again,
yeah, Well, I think it was Wednesday afternoon. I messaged you. I said, hey, we got to shift to the arena.
Yeah.
And then I think you sent me a picture, like, what are we going to sit in the bleachers? Like, nah. Mm-hmm. No, we're going to go, like, arena show. Like,
yeah.
And, like, Grant and I, obviously, we worked a lot of events. So, right, yeah. Right. Him and I, like, we're going to put the stage here, and then you guys can see the vision. We're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The moment that you explained that, I'm like, no, 100%.
So then we're going to go over the old truck stages like we used before. So first truck makes it in, like, inches to spare. Because this arena is not like a, it's not a, like, arena festival arena, like, where mm-hmm. they're loading in massive shows.
Also. Yeah. Smaller doors.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, the one truck barely makes it in, like, inches.
Yeah, like,
we had, like, broomsticks holding things out.
Pushing shit out of the way.
So the first truck gets in. I'm like, okay. So then the next truck comes, and I think I, because the guys are like, well, if you go this way, that way, I'm like, there's no way in physics that this is going to go in. Like, there's no chance. And they're like, okay. No. So they back up, bring another truck. I think the guy had taken the exhaust stack off to fit through. Mm-hmm. Mirrors, nothing. We couldn't get through. So now we have one half of a stage.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, okay. Drawing from the past experiences, I'm like, and Grant had a little mini stage, and we had a bunch of stage risers. So we quickly, like, because a lot of concerts have what are called stage thrusts, or what we nickname them eagle ramps. I didn't tell Tanner that. That's what we nickname them. Like, in the industry, you call it an eagle ramp, but I think the artists still think it's called a stage thrust. So what it is, it's like you have, like, the main bands on the main stage, and then you have, like, a ramp that goes out in the crowd. Mm-hmm. So we happen to have enough material to build that. And I think that actually made it awesome.
It made it,
because we had, like, the speakers on either side, and it really added to the, actually, I think that was a better stage setup than we had out there.
Yeah.
So that'd be the stage setup from now on if we ever do that again.
Yeah, sure.
But, that really worked out well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We haven't talked about the seminar yet. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that was our highlight, but I mean,
pretty good.
We're all working, right? And it's not like, when it comes to the party, we can just sit back and enjoy it. But there is a little bit of reprieve, right? Like, I think at one point in time, you were just, like, you went up into the bleachers.
I just
watched to make sure everything was good.
Yeah.
I actually sat back, like, on the back side of the player's bench and was kind of doing the same thing from floor level, but just kind of watching the band and the, like, dance area. And was able to take a couple quick moments to, like, really enjoy it. Yeah, it was great. I don't know what else we could say about that.
I definitely enjoyed it because I wasn't working, so I had a bunch of gin.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. It was fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a really, really cool event. Big, big thanks to everybody that came out there. We had a couple of the vendors stayed open. So mm-hmm. we were lined with, like, how many vendors at the end did we have in there?
20.
Like 20-ish?
Yeah.
So we had a couple that stayed open. Basically, more like the merch, like that
T-shirts.
We were selling all our
T-shirts. Right? That's wearing right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is gonna go on sale soon online.
Yeah.
And turn around, Todd. Show. Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
I'm wearing the Fire Blazer shirt.
That's. I'm wearing a shirt from 2012. It's been a long day. Okay. So anyway, a couple of the vendors were open, and then we had half a dozen liquor vendors in there as well.
Yep.
Worked out really, really well. So anyway, that's Saturday night. Saturday morning, I think, like Scott was saying, he shows up and the river's flooding and, like, shit's crazy. And we still have to put on an opening ceremonies. So
we're missing our guy. Normally puts on the opening ceremonies.
That's right.
We knew this. It wasn't like a surprise on Saturday morning.
It was a surprise maybe 3 weeks prior.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
Maybe 2 weeks prior.
2 weeks? Yeah.
So normally we do a pyro, mm-hmm. something with pyro, like explosives and mm-hmm. things blown up. And a couple weeks prior, we finally get a hold of the pyro guy. And he's like, I'd love to, but my son is getting married and I can't. I'm like,
yeah.
But he goes, well, you can, no, because I used to work with him years ago. And I'm like, oh, it's been a while. So me and Kevin drive down there and he basically runs us through quick and dirty pyro. So, and once he reminded me of it, I was like, okay, yeah, I got this. Like, it was actually a fairly easy thing.
Yeah.
But, so Luke from Motus shows up and I'm like, we're walking out there with shovels on Friday. He's like, where are we going? I'm like, oh, we're going to dig some holes in this ball diamond. He's like, what? I'm like, we're going to, like, dip it and put it back. He's like, oh, what are we putting in here? I'm like, well, some gas bomb mortars and a bunch of fireworks. He's like, what? He's like, what is this? I'm like, you'll see. He goes, I didn't know he actually did it here. He goes, I always saw the videos of our opener. He goes, I didn't actually know where it was.
In this beautiful grassy bowl.
And I said, yeah. I said, no. I said, we'll make it look nice at the end. Like, so we weren't really doing anything crazy this time.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of our usual business.
Yeah.
So again, the weather wasn't cooperating. We had a welcome sign that we made out of wood. We soaked it with multiple, like, with kerosene and gas. But it just was just so saturated with water that when the guys went to light it, we had a flamethrower mounted on a truck, which is a whole other thing. It wasn't like a flamethrower with propane, so it wasn't like shooting naphtha or anything. So it wasn't sticking, which would have been cool.
Might have damaged the grass
a bit. Might have damaged grass a bit. But anyways, the guys had this kind of what we call the worst water vehicle. It's this old Suburban.
Yeah, it's an old like 79 Chevy Suburban. Yeah. It's an old medic unit.
It's got a
like forestry or something.
One of our old Q sirens shoved in the engine compartment.
Yeah.
And it had a flamethrower mounted on the front. So they drove around, tried to light the sign, didn't happen. And then they turned around and they drove through the sign, which was about to happen.
Part of the thing.
And as they did that, I actually let Luke launch the, I was like, hey, you get to launch the part where he's like, what? So I was just calling the shots for him. And yeah, it went pretty well. I think we had a couple didn't go off, but no one knew that. It was still a pretty good boom and
yep.
a bunch of
it was, yep.
fireworks. And
yeah, the people in front of me jumped.
Yeah, good.
That was good.
Yeah.
I talked to the bomb squad afterwards because they actually did a demo at the end of the day. That was morning, Saturday morning. The bomb squad did their thing Saturday afternoon after teaching all day. So and I was talking to the bomb squad. He's like, yeah, ours will be a little more realistic. I said, oh, yeah, I know. This is all, like, we know, like, when stuff explodes, it's not gasoline bombs. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
We're Hollywood.
Yeah, they're, like, realistic. Yeah. And they're realistic. Loud. Like, they're C4. A little bit of C4 was super loud, like usual. Yeah. But, yeah, that was cool. So that was Saturday morning opener.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. So I guess to back it up a little bit more even, Friday night, we actually have a bit of a welcome party, if you will, at the hall here. And in years past, it doesn't really get busy until like 6:30 or 7, kind of right around there. And like, we're all working still, and it's like 5:15, and there's a lineup at the door. Like, people were here, and they were
like 3:30.
Yeah, like they were
three.
Like
they were here before we opened.
Yeah, like we had a couple guys walk in as we're unloading or as we were loading to take down to the grounds. And they're like, hey, can I come in and register yet? We're like, no. Like, 3:15. Like, yeah. Come back in an hour. He's like, well, it says 3:30. I'm like, well, yeah, well, if you're here 45 minutes early, I'm going to tell you to be another 30 minutes late. He's like, oh, okay, fine. But people were excited.
Yeah.
They were, like, pumped to come. It's been a while. Just, like, the sea of, like, fire trucks and, more of a command truck or whatever, like people would pile in the back of their command truck and cars or whatever. There was a few people that actually brought like full fire trucks because they're like, it's got our SCBA in it. Like, as soon as we pull all this stuff out, this truck's useless anyway, so we might as well bring it. We're like, okay. So
yeah,
Friday night was like the steady stream of people coming in. And again, like we try to have our like meeting area where you can come in and like socialize. And then we had a bit of a party out in the bay, and in years past people would kind of gravitate to the bays. But I think because of the weather was a bit shady, people just wanted to be over in the other room. And like, they were drinking heavily, not like getting pissed drunk or whatever, but they were like one or two, three, maybe each, where you would have like one guy might grab a beer and then kind of mosey around.
Yeah, the barbecue's going too.
Yeah, so we had snacks, like hot dogs going. There's like veggie and fruit platters going, and like other such snacks. So yeah, it was wicked. So like, just seeing the people that wanted to stay, wanted to hang out, you kind of got the vibe of the weekend. Like people were here for it, right?
That foosball table was getting lit. Those guys were working hard.
Yeah. So foosball was going. Our pool table was going.
Yeah, I was still prepping for my session.
Yeah.
Like, typing away on the computer, and I hear like, "Watch that!" People are yelling. I'm like, "What the hell is going on over there?"
Yeah, it was crazy. People were having a time. So, yeah, Friday was great. So, now back, we're down to our opening ceremony. So that all went off. If you didn't know, once again, like we always get kind of hard on each other. Like, oh man, like this didn't work out. This didn't work out. At the end of the day, we had a shitty old Suburban with a Q siren on it that smashed through a welcome sign with a flamethrower attached to it, and a bunch of fireworks and a big old gas bomb went off.
Yeah.
People were like, yeah, like, it was great. So everybody thought it was perfect. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was great. So that happens at 8 a.m. And then 8:30 is our first session. So again, because of the weather, we can't have all of our audio stuff out there to do our like welcome speech and, you know, whatever. So I think you and I were like, all right, we are the welcome speech. Yelling, like, so we kind of divided it up into quarters, and like we both started kind of right in the middle, and we gave a speech, and then we moved out, and then we moved out. And my speech to start with was like, all right, guys, just want to thank everybody for coming. We really appreciate it. Here's a couple of, you know, bookkeeping things that you're going to want to know about by the end of the weekend, blah, 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 this. The last one's like, all right, thanks a lot for coming. The session starts in 15 minutes. Lunchtime's at this. It's going to be expanded until 12:30. All right, have a great one.
Yeah.
So it definitely went from great to shit. So thank you all for coming. But yeah, so we had 26 live sessions. It was hands-on, every single one of them. And for an event like that to kick off, by 8:31, we had 24 started without a hitch. Mm-hmm. We had one misplaced tiger torch, which was solved in 10 minutes. So by...
Mine almost started late because I was still cleaning up the pyro.
Right.
And I quickly ran over. But I had two other guys sitting there. They were chatting away. I walk in, they're like, yeah, I know we pepper sprayed a guy. I'm like, what's going on here?
Like right now? Or... Yeah, so, you know, again, Saturday we had four sessions kind of back-to-back with a bit of a break, and then lunchtime was served back in the arena. Mm-hmm. So we got all of that foot traffic that went back to the arena. Our vendors, like, raving reviews. They're like, we have never had so much foot traffic and people coming up to us and chatting with us. And
that was definitely that was a thing that we decided.
5 years ago?
Well, yeah, whenever the we decided a long time ago.
Throwback to Carl when he was going to be in the vendor section.
Yeah, like that was when we had to do. We had a debrief, and one thing the vendor said, like, there's not enough people coming through.
Yeah.
So we had a discussion. We're like, well, how hard is it to put lunch in there? And it was definitely challenging. Like, it was definitely added to our plate, but it made it so much better and made the vendor so much happier. And that's what we're looking for, right?
We want to
spread that the vendors are like, hey, these guys are trying. Like, they're we pushed a lot of people through.
Sure, we did.
Like all
five. That was a great setup, though, because in past years, when we always had it in the arena with the sit down, you know, now it's a huge mess in the community center. It's a big mess to clean up, and there's a lot of things going on, right? Whereas that, like, it was very self sufficient. It was just fast. The food lineup into the tall boy tables, people were cleaning up for themselves. Like, it was
wiped down, we're done.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a couple of volunteer groups that were coming in. They were looking for volunteer hours. We ended up donating all of the empties. So, like, thank you for coming down to volunteer your hours. But there was a lot of water bottles and a lot of other cans and such that ended up finding their way over to them, which is really great. So, we weren't happy to be hands-on for the most part. Mm-hmm. Four sessions on Saturday. And then broke down our sessions, kind of left the majority of it there, but like unhook all of your appliances, stuff like that, all of the things that could walk away. We did have security on site, but I mean, it's a pretty large site to be secure when it's open to the public.
Still, right? Yeah, and like I told the security person, I'm like, you know, there's only a few things that are really expensive here. Mm-hmm. So the rest is like literally there's burnt cars over there. If they can't get any more burnt.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't, let's not worry about that. Just keep an eye on that burn building there. If it's fully involved, if it like catches on fire, which it shouldn't because it's a sea can, and the guys are doing pretty good putting it out. So,
I think that was one of the big concerns was some of our buildings being left there overnight because Saturday morning at 7:30, some of the guys went into one of their sea cans and there were some people that had moved in.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't in the burn building. It was in a non-burn can. So
it was clean.
It was a clean.
It was actually brand new.
Yeah.
They
saw the new wood smell on it.
So they had moved in. I think the instructor was even like, "All right, you got until 8:30, so
and then we're gonna start spraying water in there."
So
yeah,
at that point, you should probably go.
Yeah,
and they were good. They.
Oh, yeah.
packed up and left. So
I mean, kept her out of the rain for the night. That's fine.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so like, I guess some of the sessions, we should probably talk about some sessions, not just all the parties we had. Yeah, there was things to be had or things to be learned. I think a few standouts was unfortunately the helicopter wasn't able to fly.
Yeah,
because of the weather. But from what we understood, there was that went pretty good reviews.
Some really good takeaways from those guys.
It was cool because it was the official, not the debut. It was
beta test.
Yeah, like a beta test of the new our aircraft marking panel from Modus. Uh-huh. So, which we talked about way back in whatever episode.
Mm-hmm.
Who was on with us? Chopper
Mike.
Chopper Mike.
Yeah.
When he told us about the Australian splash mat, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the wheels started turning. So we attempted a thing. We attempted to make our own, which actually didn't turn out too bad.
Yeah.
And then we talked to Modus about it. We wanted something a little more portable, made it out of some kind of parachute material. And yeah, they came through again. So they made what, like a 4x4, almost like a stop sign shape.
Yeah.
With a big arrow on one side and a SOS.
SOS.
And it can actually fold back kind of into itself, which is kind of cool. So I remember I brought it over in the morning because they made six prototypes. They made six prototypes. I get one for us. You have one, or I didn't give it to you. I think it's in the house. So we gave them the other four.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here you go. And the guys were running the chopper. Like, what is that thing? I'm like, I roll out. He's like, what? He's like, this is amazing. And I was like, well, yeah, see if you like it. Talk about it. Blah, see ya. And I took off, right? Mm-hmm. And then you went by at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
they're literally like halfway through. So like once everything was rolling, like my job was to make sure everything ran smooth. So I was going around from session to session and I walk over and I'm listening to like their instruction and they're going through talking about the chopper, talking about, you know, working around them, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets over and just as I'm walking up, on the Sunday now. So I saw them on Saturday and I didn't hear this as clearly, but as I'm walking up on the Sunday, he's going over the splash mat or the market panel. And he's like, yeah, I want every department in BC to have one of these things. He says, this will save a life. He says, and it's going to make our lives a lot easier. And as he's saying this, he looks up and he sees me walking. He's like, and you got that guy right there to thank. I'm like, wow, it's actually a team here.
It's actually Australians.
More so
a whole continent.
But
what else was?
I think it was like a bit of this, right? So he's like, why don't you come and chat about it? So I'm like, okay. So I just kind of said the story. And, you know, like it was actually us working with his team in 2021-2. When we had our big fire here, and he was in the air for one of them. He did the drop where Glenn was like, well, would you look at that?
He did?
Yeah. Oh. So I thought it was Mike, but it was actually him. Oh. And then Mike was working with us previously that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically saying, like, we've got a pretty good rapport with these guys. Like, we work with them often. We know one of them personally. We obviously know both really, you know, really well now. So it's easy to have that, you know, those cons where you can be like, hey man, like just throw all of the professionalism out of the window. Be like, hey, yeah, can you give us a drop? Whatever.
50 feet off my tailboard.
50 feet off my tailboard, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, that makes sense. But then that got us all thinking, like what if I don't have that marking point, right? Like, what if the engine's way away?
Well, like we've had before, we've had like, you know, I remember like comms over one time we were off our engine. We're probably, you know, the 100, 200 feet into the brush woods, but in the brush. And I remember, I need a drop. Well, where do you want it? Well, like 100 feet to the left of that tree that's on fire. He's like, every tree's on fire. get better calm than that. And he's like, and he goes, well, what kind of helmet are you wearing? And he said, he's like, okay, so you're that guy. He's like, where, from association to where you are, what do you want? And so he said, but that's also hard to figure out, right? Because there's like, we're crawling around like ants down there.
Yeah, we're all beetling around. So
basically, this thing is designed.
In comes this map, right?
Fucking down on the ground.
And he really loved it for that. And he says, it's going to make like those. He says, we're idiots that are up in the air. And like, we're a bunch of idiots down on the ground.
Yeah.
And like, our worlds don't meet. right? So, you know, like, we don't have that view and they don't have ours. So and he's like, this just takes all the guests, all that guesswork out of it. You smash this thing down. It's got a massive arrow and you save 50 feet.
It's got pockets. So you can put rocks or your water bottles in it to hold it down.
And then on the other side is a big SOS. And he says, if I'm coming in to pull somebody out of a bad scenario, says, if you've got cell phone, if you've got a waypoint, something that you can like drop, something that you can relay, this is where I am. But if I see this massive, I mean, it's not massive, but like from the air, says, this is going to stand out like a sore thumb. Says, I am going to see you from a ways away. And I'm going to come in there and like minutes mean like mean life. So I says, that's going to get me coming directly to you. And one of the other things just about that whole thing is he's talking about how much space these things need to touch down. Mm-hmm. He says, there's landing, there's hover exit, and then there's like, holy shit, evac. Yeah. And like, he's asking for like 100 by 100 and then 50 and by 50.
Smaller.
And then he's like, yeah, if it's a holy shit evac, he says, man, you can pace out. Like, I will tell you what the pace out distance is, the minimum that I need. And he says, I will put it in within 2 feet of that kind of distance. Yeah. And like, you could just see people's eyes were getting big and they're like, okay, I kind of understand this. Right. You know, again, like he had the bucket there. They had like that sort of cam lock deal. Right. And he says, you guys should never be in a position where you have to deal with this. He says, but we've been in that position before where you have had to. So if at any point in time you need to have hands on, I'd rather you have it here and now than out in the field. So everybody that was there got a chance to go up there, play with it, click and move. Right. So, yeah, he's saying like he's like, I would love to see one of these or two of these or whatever in every apparatus with every crew in British Columbia.
Well, one thing I asked Paul to add on from Lotus, he's kind of like the techie guy, the guy that does all the stuff. Because Todd even said, he's like, we should have some grommets on it.
Yeah.
Just if you carry some tent pegs in your backpack.
Yeah.
And then I also was thinking, well, okay, if you had a grommet, you could actually run a little bit of 550 cord through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then with a little carabiner, and you can actually hook it to your backpack or your that way. Because I was watching, well, the reason why I was thinking that, because I was watching the military, because they use marking panels so they don't get bombed by like aircraft. And I'm like, oh, well, if we had a marking panel on our back, because sometimes the water bombers come over, they don't see us.
Nope.
And next thing you hear the bird dog, blah, 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 and you're like, whoa, we're in the bath. And we're like running.
Yeah.
And I feel if they actually could see us down there with the marking panel, they might be like, hey, get out of there, you idiots.
Yeah.
Before they bombed us. So, like if you could attach it to your backpack, just so you're like almost like a Superman cape, and then they can see like they can see that it's like at least one marking panel moving around
running
there.
Away. Yeah.
Why is Scott running?
So I mean that was a kind of one of those ones that once we knew that the helicopter wasn't going to be able to fly, they actually borrowed one of their customers and brought it down there just as a bit of a static demo. And it still brought a lot of information.
Yeah.
But even without the helicopter in the air, going over the comms, going over just everything around it was really, really valuable. And a lot of people spoke really, you know, quite highly about it. You guys actually were on the list of really good takeaways as well, which, again, you kind of, certain people will gravitate to it and certain people will shy away.
Well, on paper, ours looked really boring because we were the only two classrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, because everything else is hands on, things are on fire, like massive explosions, but there's things burning and,
lots of obvious physical activity, right?
Stop the lead. We've taught before. So that's what Todd was teaching. So we kind of knew like that always draws a little bit of attention because, you know, you got the blood and stuff like you're outside, blood everywhere.
Didn't think I would get as much as I did though.
Yeah.
I thought I'd get 50% what's to be expected.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be
just because 13. Of all the events that are going on. This is fire, space.
And people usually kind of wander off and go find the ones they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then mine, I had a lesson plan, but at the same time, I'm like, how's this going to flake out? Because so I'm doing the active shooter and my opening statement every time I taught, I'm like, you're probably wondering what the hell we're doing here. I think it's a bit of a buff, but
yeah.
I said, you're probably wondering why you're here. Because like, how does active shooter tie into fire? And everyone's like, and there's a lot of people with their arms crossed. Like, I'm like, give me an hour. I said, I'll be convinced. first time I did it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to have him convinced or not. But I laid out all the stats, like we've talked about before on here. And then we did a little, a little high fidelity sim at the end that got them thinking, got them going. That was fun because it was pretty, like, it was 45 minutes of kind of lecture, which,
right.
Again, on paper, that looks super boring. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any videos, didn't have any of that. We were just lecturing. Had some like some sheriffs there and stuff. We're talking it through and talked about some triaging. And then the last 15 minutes, I was like, okay, everyone wearing armor, because they had the heavy plates on, like heavy armor, and go outside with the sheriffs. And then as soon as the door closed, I'm like, okay, everybody else, why don't you flip over the tables, chairs, whatever else is in here, make it look like a war zone. So, and then I have them lay down. I had little flashcards with their triage, like category. So it was like yellow, like shot in the arm, tourniquet works. That's like a yellow, right? And then red was like shot in chest, massive hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. And then black was like shot in the head, ashen. Mm-hmm. And I made these little blood mats out of felt, because we were in like a classroom. Like we were outside, like Todd. So Todd could dump blood everywhere, but we were in this little classroom, so we couldn't really dump blood. And then had a smoke machine running, and I literally went on Spotify and I typed in "Screaming Man," and it's actually, I was joking. I think a Spotify Screaming Man probably got a lot of play that weekend because I was like playing it constantly, and it's literally just a guy like, and I just had it on repeat. So it was like just, and you were like, I think the first time I played it, someone from your session comes over, they're like, "Everything okay? Yeah, like, yeah, we're fine."
and you gotta like. A small smoke machine
to simulate, because yeah. Someone's like, "She have STD." I'm like, "No, it's like simulating gun smoke, like,
yeah,
a gunshot from gunfire, right?" And they're like, "Oh," so I just get a little bit of haze in the air and just added that chaos, right?
Mm-hmm. And then
a smoke alarm going, mm-hmm. So yeah. It's like again all added
more,
to the chaos.
More horrible.
Yeah.
So they had to come in and do a real quick triage, put them on the quick litters and get them out. Mm-hmm. So by the end, I think you and I. A couple of other guys, like one of the guys from Car Fire, he came over. He's like, "Man, like it's like Sunday afternoon." He's like, "I have like four people at my event now." He goes, "Everybody's over here." I was like, "Oh." Mm-hmm. But I think it's because it was unique for the two. Like people don't see that very much. Like,
yeah,
they don't see Stop the Bleed and they don't see Active Shooter. So it's like, mm-hmm. You know, people do see Car Fire and they see these other training events. And with us, it's like, this is definitely a weird kind of thing.
Well, and it is what you make it too. Like, especially for the Stop the Bleed stuff, like, I always canvass kind of everybody that would come in, like, "Hey, like who's heard of this? Who's done some of this skills?" And you know, every now and then you get one or two people that put their hand up about it. Then some like, "Oh yeah, well I'm an EMR, I've done this," and then we get into it and I start throwing some numbers at them for you know what the body does and the clotting factors and how your clots work and all this stuff. And then they're like, "Ooh, like, we weren't taught that."
Yeah.
Right. Like they weren't taught any of it. And then like just the proper tourniquet placements and things to think about and then the actual wound packing skills and not to dislodge the clot.
Yeah. Well, we're chatting each other up too, because I'm like putting people into your sessions.
Yeah,
you're putting people in my sessions.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really good. And I probably had anywhere between kind of the 13, 14 to 18 to 20 pretty much every time.
Yeah. It was crazy. Interesting because I had people like beginning Saturday morning. I'd be like, because I had to do a quick tourniquet application thing too. So I'm like, "Anyone know how to put a tourniquet on here?" And like two people put their hand. I'm like, "Okay, I'm just going to do quick and dirty because Todd's teaching it next door. So if you want the more advanced, like go next door, but I'm going to teach quick dirty." By Sunday afternoon, I had like half the class would have their hand up. Like, "Hey, who's done tourniquet applications?" Like, "Did you learn from him?" "Yep. Okay, perfect." It's my
how many people prior to Friday?
Yeah, so my talk is a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. You know, like, and the other thing I really pushed and sold was the awareness of what that course, you know, can do. You can take that back to your department as training officers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked about like my fancy wound packers, like, and I just checked the price actually yesterday. It's like, this is $700.
Yeah.
American. Right. You know, like, it's crazy versus, you know, the $6 to $8 yoga block. So I had people taking pictures of the gear, taking pictures of all my notes for the clotting factors. And
your yoga blocks are funny because I walked by at one point like, "Man, whoever came up with those ideas is super smart." I'm like, Tom and I literally like, YouTube, look at that. I think we changed it a bit, but it was like.
They're like, "How do you make it? Like, get a knife and a screwdriver."
Yeah, get a knife and a screwdriver and a clean.
Pretty high tech.
A clean sprayer bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
I did bring a spare one in case I had a couple fail, but in my dad's pesticides in it, so we didn't use it.
He didn't have to use it. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so I mean, seeing those two sessions have such great success.
Because those ones are the ones that I was like worried, like people were like, going to be like, I'm kind of thinking like our session's gonna like these two sessions are gonna be like a whatever session because mm-hmm. like a filler session because it's like a classroom. No one's gonna want to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually thought the first in Saturday morning, I'm like, oh, everybody's in here because it's raining, and then I'm like, look, it's not raining anymore. Everybody's still in here.
Yeah, it's still happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but even as far as I'm gonna get this wrong, but the assistant to the regional fire chief.
Deputy fire commissioner. Not the regional fire commissioner. He's a fire commissioner for the province.
Oh, okay. So even he was speaking highly of it.
And he walked in at one point on Sunday. He's like, "Hey, run me through what you're teaching." I'm like, "Well, I'm about to start again." He's like, "No, I got 10 minutes. I gotta go because I gotta catch a ferry." I'm like, "Okay." So I talked pretty fast and. I was talking.
You were going.
And I was like, I got armor in my hand. I quickly showed him, how do we take a guy down with a gun? And he's like, what the hell? He's like, whoa. And then, then he asked a few pretty good questions. So I had the answers. And he's like, cool. And so then he's like, yeah, we should definitely look at this more.
Yeah. And it's really cool to see. So after he spoke to you, I caught him chatting with Chief Bob, who, Bob, bless him. He's like, this isn't really for us. You're a pretty good salesman when it comes to things that you're.
Don't really actually want to sell. Right? Yeah, I'm not a good salesman if I want to sell actual shoes or something.
But when it's something that you're passionate about, Bob's been kind of softening to the idea of this, right? And then I think seeing it, actually being able to see it unfold, he was right there with him, that Scott guy is. When he's hooked on something, he's gonna push it until you believe it, or until he knows that you're not going to. We don't cram shit down guys' throats too bad around here. But
come at it from an angle, right?
Yes.
It shouldn't need selling. I was selling in the course. I'm like this really shouldn't need much selling. I'm like the first stat I throw out is 98% of all shooters are solo shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, okay. I said, why does that stat matter? I said, because if law enforcement goes in as they should and stops a shooter, there's a 98% chance that that's the only guy.
Yeah.
And now everyone's waiting because it's a warm zone. Everyone's holding until the police totally clear the place.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like the attack team going in and knocking, putting a knock on a fire. Mm-hmm. And then everyone waiting outside until the attack team clears the whole building before they send in the mop up team.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so that helped because I was relating from law enforcement to fire and back and forth. And yeah. I think that really helped sell it. Selling. I keep saying selling. And actually, one of the guys kept saying selling. I'm like, we're not selling soap here. we're planting seeds. And we're just pushing along a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Giving a little nudge. So,
yeah. So, I mean, seeing, guys like Chief Bob, once he sees it, he's like, now I get it. Right. Which is really, really cool to see. Your guys' sessions was a welcome surprise, I guess.
And I only bring this up not because it's us, but because again, I was pleasantly surprised people actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then of course we had some standouts from our we had the right, we had Fortis Gas was there, and they have massive flames, and so of course
it looks really
cool. And Ray is a great instructor, Ray's awesome. So
yeah,
he's there from Fortis, and we had lots of different ones. But I got to give kudos to Adam and Glenn.
100%.
Force Entry kind of got forced on them.
Yep.
Because the guys we normally get weren't able to make it with their doors or anything. So
that was kind of not last minute, but.
Like a month out. A month or two out. And I was kind of like, okay, I guess we're not going to have Force Entry. And then we had a discussion. And the chief's like, well, why can't we? I was like, well, we need to build another door. Yep. He's like, let's build another door. I was like, okay. He goes, we should have another door anyway. So.
Yep.
So quickly got Dennis to build us another door, mm-hmm. which actually I think is a better door. Because the first door was just kind of his prototype door, and then this one is out.
So he's way better purchase points now.
And then everything I hear was because Glenn
had a lot of people there.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, can you guys teach us? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, sure. And they're like, yep. And literally, he's like, man, I've never watched so much Force Entry video in my life.
Yeah.
And
what you want to see?
Yeah. He really put a lot of thought into it, both of them. And we had nothing but good
stuff. It was really cool to see. So, to kind of pump both of their tires, I came to the hall Thursday early, and they were both outside at their doors. And I kind of parked kind of close by to load some shit up, and I could hear... He's running through his session, and he would teach Glenn, and then Glenn would teach Adam, and they were going back and forth, and they were refining their their sessions.
That's cool.
And that's what, like, again, like, big props to those guys. And, like, there was a couple of those guys in the department. Like, I got to tip my hat to the Force Entry crew. I got to tip my hat to Kevin Vetch.
Yeah, because he was refining, like, the fire.
He was all in.
Like, he had, like, science. Like, he was like, hey, if I put, like, 2 pellets on, it's not nearly enough. And if I put 10 on, it kills people. Yeah. Like, he melted some guys. Science. Like, once the guy's visor was off because it was too hot. So he's like, oh, yeah, this is, like, you had to find, like, the Goldilocks zone. The Goldilocks fire zone. And then he's like, how much venting? And, like, he understood. By the end of it, he had his little burn down the hot box.
When I told him that we put it back together down at the training grounds, because, like, we got some extra cans now. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to put them there, I might as well put them together. And he's like, sweet. I'm like, are you going to teach that again? He's like, oh, okay.
Not until September. Or not until September. Because we cannot do it right now.
Yeah, we are. At this temp, we are probably.
Because that is a hot season. That is a hot room.
It is, yeah.
His room is designed. There's no ventilation in it. It's basically designed as an interior attack going on the hallway, wall, ceiling, wall, using that water to kill the BTUs and cool the whole structure down. So basically overwhelming the fire with pure, like, water. There's, like, it got pretty hot in there. But we had enough vent holes left to, like, vent a lot of the steam and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. He said it got ripped in there pretty good.
Going really well. It's funny. I kind of made it to every session every day. And I got up to him at the tail end of one of the sessions just as he was coming out. And then I listened to, like, what he was saying to his crew after the session. And, like, everybody was like, yeah, like, super jacked up. And then on Sunday, I started my day at his session. So it was his first session of Sunday morning. And I just kind of beetle up there. And he's like, oh, hey, and this is Ash. He's one of our captains. And I think he's up here for my audit. And I'm like, you're what? And he's like, yeah, you're doing, like, my session audit. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm literally.
Meanwhile, you pull out a notebook.
Yeah.
Proceed.
But go on. All right. So he's going through it. And, like, he's doing, like, great. Right. And then he's like, damn it, man. I'm like, what? He's like, you're making me nervous. I'm like, I'm not saying anything. And it was funny because he's, like, going through everything and, like hitting his marks. Like, all of the info was getting out there. He's, like, showing guys prior to going in, like, talking about that heat, the thermal layer, talking about the smoke layer, talking about, you know, using those water droplets to basically to disturb your thermal,
like, overwhelm,
and then that's when you can push in and da da da. So yeah, and he even talked a little bit about venting and why, like, in this situation, like, you can't because it's not going to go anywhere. They're like, oh yeah, cool. So everybody was getting what he was saying, and then there was maybe like a 4-minute little down moment. Like, I'm sitting there and, like, everybody's, you know, getting all packed up, and I talk. So I'm like, Kev, you mind if I jump in here quick? And he's like, yeah, go. I'm like, yeah, yes. We have a 2 full day event. And, like, I enjoy doing instruction, not the overall thing like I was doing. So I'm like, I get two minutes. So I dive in there. I'm like, hey, how many people have been inside of a structure before, whether it's real or CCAM? And 3 of them.
3 out of 13?
3 out of, yeah. So 10 of them have never been inside before. So that was their first.
And that's experience. Why we do this.
Like, yeah. So, and I did say prior to the weekend. And that, like, 3 of them, yes. 10 of them, no. I'm like, okay, sweet. So I'm like, hey, so that's really awesome to know. And I'm like, so secondly, like, Kev's about to show you guys just some hose movement tactics and things like that. And he's like, yeah. So they start to show, and he's like showing them the clamp and the slide. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, hey, this is great. And I'm like, hey, Dane, come and back up Kev. He's like, okay. So I'm like, stop right about there. He's like, okay, grab one of the hose. Okay. I'm like, all right, I want you guys to shout out when Dane, as his backup, should like, where should he be on that hose line? And I think I had him start like 20 feet back, right? So he starts getting closer, getting closer. And you see like one guy's hand goes up where he's kind of back where we want him to be, right? And then gets a little bit closer, and a few other sheepish hands go up. And then right at the very end, everybody's hands go up, right?
You know, that's the butts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, nobody here is wrong. And they're like, oh, really?
Somebody is.
I'm like, there's two of you guys that are super right, and the rest of you were right in 1985. Yeah. And they're like,
just for other reasons.
Yeah.
There's times.
But... Yeah. Right? And they're like, what? Like, it was more of a laughable thing. So we just went on quickly as, like, Kev now is getting on his SCBA and stuff. And I'm like, the reasons why you want to stay back, like we've always chatted here, is in case there ever is a collapse and somebody goes down. And like, also, like, once Kev's geared up, he's going to be testing his host stream. I'll get Dane right back on him in the nuts to butts thing. And then I'm going to call Dane. And they're like, okay, so Kev's spraying. I'm like, hey, Dane. And he just kind of moves his body, right? So what happens to the host stream? Yeah. It moves too. So we explain that, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is great, right? So I'm like, all right, thank you, and have a great rest of your day. And, you know, beat a lot, and Kev's like, fucking
hey, 2 minutes in.
Yeah, right? So I was like, yeah, it was a pretty wicked weekend that I got to instruct for 2 minutes, but it was a lot of fun. Kev's group did really, really well. He says that was the largest, so he asked that question prior, or I think he was putting it at the end, like when they were talking at the very end. Which is classic us here. And he says, yeah, like usually at the end, he would then come back in and be like, hey, so how many people have ever been inside before? Was this your first experience? Like, what was the deal? Right. So he says that was, when I chatted to him afterwards, the largest group that had never seen like inside live fire,
right.
Which is just kind of like luck of the draw as the teams are made.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing.
Because we got like chiefs that show up and actually pack up and train. We have training officers that come, and then we have rookies. Mm-hmm. Like,
just, or just departments that don't get a lot of live fire.
Yeah,
right.
Or get a lot of structure fires, or maybe they don't even train that standard.
Yeah,
right.
And we're given that little taste.
Mm-hmm. So we did chat at the very end of the session about, like, in BC, we went off of something called the playbook, which is now the minimum firefighter standards, blah, 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 blah. So we did even touch on that just as we were like group chatting about like how you can interpret the rules. We are an interior certified department, which is great. We have all of our regional district departments that are exterior ops only, which we say, like, that doesn't mean that you can't open the front door. You can't go into the IDLH environment.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we're like, what we don't want to do is send you guys back and be like, Oliver said that we can go in. That's not what we're saying here. We're like, however, you know, doing these things like we're doing on a weekend like this, where we're giving you those little tidbits and tips and tricks, you know, if you're ever in that situation, or if it's now overhaul and the rest of the building is completely viable,
yeah.
There's no reason why you guys can't make that.
Well, and part of exterior training now, they've added forcible entry.
That's right.
Which suggests to me that they want you to at least force the front door and do a quick check at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, that's where a lot of patients end up, at the door. So there's nothing stopping people from opening the door, giving a quick little like look down the hallway, maybe have to hit the fire with a little bit of water.
Yep.
And grab patients. So yeah, I think the flexibility on that, it's a little bit more than some departments are very strict on it. Like there's a couple around here, they're very like, nope, as soon as they have to go inside, we're not going inside, we have to call another department or we can't go in.
Yeah.
And there's others that are like, IDLH is it's a degree. Like, how deadly does it have to be? Immediately? Like, does it really have to? Like, are we talking like seconds? Because some of them are pushing it, which is good. They should. I think they should, because you know, that's what saves lives. It's like,
well, I think with the training standards, like, it's, you know, as it, you look at the past 5-10 years, how we've evolved so much, and everything's constantly evolving and changing.
Hmm.
We're going to start seeing that stuff change. There's still going to be departments that are going to be only exterior, but you're going to see a different degree, like what you're just mentioning, is that, hey, with this, this, and this, you may have the opportunity to push in. We're not talking like a full search and that kind of shit, but like
make that grab. You're not in a basement, so you're not going to go upstairs. No,
exactly. Make those quick grabs, something that's going to save a life.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots like our other sessions that are over where Kevin was, which is we had the
Orientated search
of BIS.
Yeah, BIS.
And basically, and it was cool because we bought this battle fogger thing. It's basically like a $2,000 smoke machine. And when Grant said, hey, we should get the smoke machine, I'm like, oh, okay, we'll buy it on training budget, because part of it, I want to have more of this non-toxic smoke, because when we do our search buildings, it's not great for us to be always in smoke. I mean, definitely not good for us. And it's also like, it serves a purpose, but it's also like impractical and and it's also like our gear gets more beat up because we have to wash it more. So if we can use this non-toxic smoke, so we kind of rolled the dice on this thing, and man, this thing is awesome. Like it filled up what, 3 sea cans and
the hull.
Well, filled up a hull when we tested it, but it filled up 3 sea cans in minutes, and it was thick. Like Grant said, yeah, at one point he goes, I could hear them talking in there, so he kind of step forward to see where they were, and he actually like almost fell over a guy because it was so heavy smoke in there. And so that really worked out well. And then really the VIS and the orientated search are essentially the same search. They're just one you're doing from the inside down a hallway going into the room using the hose line as your safe point, and your anchor point. And then the VIS, of course, is from the exterior jumping into the room, which is actually where I think we had our only injury, which is like a separated shoulder. But the guy was like boss, because he went in and he still saved the patient, got out, and then he realized, oh, my shoulder's dislocated. so he quick trip to the hospital. And
luckily, we were right there.
Yeah, the hospital, you can see the bottom, we're at the bottom of the hospital hill. So, So I think he got back in the action later, didn't he? Well, I don't think he got back in action, but
he was back on site.
Yeah, he was wearing a sling, but he was still moving around.
Yeah,
which is really, really cool. So yeah, lots of really good feedback from those guys as well. Again, with that smoke that, you know, makes the
vanilla, real... The vanilla favorite flavor.
Yeah.
It's like a giant meat pen. Some 16-year-old kid is like on a tail of something like popping it.
Got cotton candy everywhere. Yeah, so that was really cool. Actually, it was sweet when we were loading the sea cans back to the training grounds. Like, those buildings still have, like, all their piping. So, like, we're still going to be able to utilize it for our training. And we got to chatting, and I was explaining to one of our members, and like, for us to smoke out that side of the building, rather letting, like, hay in a barrel, which is, I mean, now you've got this hay fire. It's, like smoldering. But now that's way over here, which is like people go in there with a thermal camera and all of a sudden they're picking up this massive heat source way away from the fire, which
happens,
but not very often. Right. We got this random spot. Like
multiple starts. Starts.
Yeah. So that kind of takes a bit of that away. And I'm like, for us to get the heat and the smoke to travel that far, now we're building this rock and fire and we're putting all this massive heat in the building, which, I mean, it's cool. But again, like, you're not really honing any extra technique by building this massive fire. Like, you could have a 4 or 5 pallet stack and get the exact same skill set across, and it would be way better, like Scott says, on our gear, on our firefighters, on our buildings. Like, we're going to get more, more revolutions out of the buildings if we're not building these rocking fires every session just by pumping smoke on the other side. Because you're still going to get that natural smoke from fire. So that side of the building was always good. Like, you always got that, right? But over in the search rooms, like, it was smoky, but you're not getting the effect that you want. So I'm really excited to see with a little bit of that battle fog or smoke in there. And I'm curious to see what the reaction is to heat. Like, once we have that fire, because it might
dissipate quicker because it's a cooler smoke.
So that'll be interesting. But so those guys,
a little bit of a hazmat deal going on with a turnover van. I got a guy I know from the Cooties. He came and taught that. So that was a good session. I got a couple of videos from that. Or not videos, pictures of them doing that.
Large animal rescue.
Animal rescue.
That was actually on a lot of people's. They really enjoyed that.
So we've gotten a lot of like these outlying departments. We're not all, I think we aren't either. We're not all these like big city departments. I mean, that's kind of not the gist of it. Like, we're the volunteer and paid on call departments. So you're going to have those, rural kind of settings where you'll have livestock, you're going to have horses rolling around and blah, blah, blah. So like, people gravitated to that. And like, the people that instructed it made a hell of a prop.
Yeah, they made that. Yeah, they made a horse and it articulated legs, and its tail actually had like a spinal cord, and then it ended where it's supposed to, and it went to the mane, or whatever the mane was. Maybe it's on top. I'm not a horse person.
Tail hair.
Basically, the rest of the tail hair. Its ears were like, looked like horse's ears. It was like, we wanted to bring it home and beat it for some of our meeting nights.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
But it was definitely like I never saw it laying down. in a, did they lay it in a pen? I never got over there. Like,
so they had a, they actually had an enclosure.
Yeah.
So they fenced it in. So I didn't see it like when they were in there. I actually caught them both before they started. And then the second day was right at the very, like right at the tail end, if you will. So the rescue had already happened.
Right.
But yeah, like people were walking away from it. They're like, oh, that was crazy. I'm like, it's crazy. Like, but I mean,
it's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So all of these kind of like new one-off sessions that, that we brought to the table. Like we always have Live Fire. We're always going to have Fortis. And, like Fortis is amazing and like they need to be there. Like it's a staple and people get a ton out of it.
Yeah.
However, I think like you guys, the horse rescue, you know, things like that, that are, you know, MCI, the hazmat, the MCI event with, you know, we had half a dozen actors and actresses that were coming in there. My daughter was watching. She was super stoked.
She right teach it.
Hey,
she could probably teach it.
She's pretty switched on. Yeah. She's like, she's like rattling stuff off. I'm like, you're listening to me. And, you know, so it was really, really cool to see. I kind of frequented over there because it was on my, like walking path every, it was actually right at the very end of the creek that was about to spill over. So I found myself down there often. So I kind of poked my head over. I'm like, is Gabby alive? Oh, she's upside down in the car. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, like really, really cool. People took a lot away from that as well. What else? Like we had our year vehicle fire, we had our burn pan.
Our burn pan, which attracts all attention because it's giant fire.
Right?
So, a lot of photos from that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the positive pressure building.
Yep.
That's always a good takeaway bonus each and that. Yeah, it's just there's a bunch of missing, but from your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the RIT group was really good as well. It sounds like another popular one on everybody's list.
What are we talking about? The ambulance.
Kind of canvas.
Yeah, so the ambulance guys, you know, like I was chatting with them on it, and it's a very, very mixed groups coming through.
Yeah.
Sunday, of course, was very thin for numbers.
Yeah.
For them.
As you know. With us.
Yeah, exactly. But I said, like, some people in there, like, no FR training to, like, people like new to it that wanted to learn.
Right.
So some classes they would do a certain kind of skill for like this high fidelity.
Yeah. Cause it was kind of like, hey, it wasn't really like, this is the lesson plan. It was more like, hey,
They kind of they had a plan and they kind of canvassed everybody. And then they said, okay, well, we're going to do like high fidelity CPR stuff.
Yeah.
And then tie that into patient assessment for critical patients, things like that, and then other considerations. Then there's a few questions coming up, and then they're like, hey, can you teach me, you know, a neonatal resuscitation and like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh geez, man, okay. Like, so next thing you know, Austin's got the board out and he's got all this stuff on there, and which was fantastic because some people, like the smaller groups, they went to them and like, hey, teach us a proper style of assessment for this type of patient, and they really broke it down to a lot of key areas. So those are the people that were very switched on to FR and really wanted to learn that type of stuff. So it was good. And
I think that's the same angle as, sorry, the ropes guys took too, because like, you know, they just kind of went, they had a lesson plan, but then they were also like, hey, do you have any questions on different types of systems? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously it was taught by some of our really advanced guys, like on ropes. We also had swift water, not only in the creek, but also in the river. We actually had the SAR guys out doing swift water. I saw one of those guys walk by at one point. I did not even go near them because they were like, I was in the
pretty way far away from your guys.
Yeah, but I did see one of them walk by in their dry suit at one point with all his gear. So I'm like, okay, they are here. Someone is definitely in the water getting wet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, it was. Oh, and then of course Rob.
Right.
Can't forget poor Rob.
Yeah.
Rob and his 22 kilometers of running.
Yeah.
So Rob.
I thought you said he was 22 children.
No. Four.
Yeah.
And they're all working.
All of them. Yep.
But so Rob was teaching, not teaching, I guess he was running the fire challenge, which is, you know, like fire fitness, like. I don't know how to say it because we got sued probably. Anyways, the thing with the basically an obstacle course. And he kind of ran it. I think he was running it very similar to how we teach it, with our rookies or our candidates.
Yeah.
But Rob had a step counter on him.
That's right.
And so Rob is awesome because he runs with, like, he goes with everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he didn't tell me, he usually tells me how many people ran through. I didn't hear, like, A lot. And a lot of people go twice, three times, because it's a competition. Like, they actually won it. Pretty cool. There were snaggers for everybody that won.
Yeah,
and it was engraved with the championship on there. Mm-hmm. So he ran, he said he did on Saturday, 22 kilometers.
Yeah.
Which I think is a marathon.
It is, yeah. I think that was the thing, where he ran a marathon in one little small
and one, and
it's funny, too, like, I was having a chat with the chief about it, who happens to be his father. And he's like, man, like Rob's talents are being underutilized. Like, he could instruct any of the other sessions and like excel at it. Right. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know that, but you try to get Rob out of that scenario.
Yeah.
And like, nope, there's no way. Like,
well, even Grant's like, I used to do that. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, Grant, but you're a good instructor. He's like, so is he? I'm like, well, you're a better instructor. I just expect it. Just trying to like
pump up,
right? I'm like, yeah, that's what you're teaching. He's like, okay.
Yeah, like, that's Rob Jan, though. He owns that, and he's so good at that.
Yeah,
he has a lot of fun with it.
He does, and like again, he folds in his two boys help out a ton. Like, and his wife's there, his daughter. Right? Like, I mean, he's got like the whole Grant family's there, So they ran through, and like some of the times that were coming out of there was damn impressive. The fastest time of the day, or for the weekend, sorry, was 1:44.
1:44.
Yeah, 1:44 to run the course. And like they kind of like went off the mark. Like when we do our door breach prop, we kind of nicknamed it the Big Joe. That's the guy that built it for us was big, and his name is Joe. So. And we're pretty smart when we come up with our names here.
Yeah.
Like we take a knee and like you're simulating, like doing the hit and the drive when you're breaching a door. Guys were swinging for the fences.
Yeah. They were like, if they would have missed, they'd kill their partner.
Yeah.
It was real door breaching.
Yeah. So it's like arm fractured and doors in half or whatever. Right. So like, they were going for speed, a little bit less on the technique.
Yeah.
But yeah, 1:44 was the fastest male time of the weekend. And I forget what the final number was on Saturday for the female time. But on Sunday, midday, I think it was during one of the breaks. Because that's the other thing is people will go there during the breaks. They'll go there during the lunch.
Yeah.
So like
that's an open session.
It's so, just open.
It's marked on the top. As I said, open session.
Yeah. So people just like flock over there. So like Rob doesn't get a break. Like
no, he's nonstop.
When the other teams get that hour or whatever for lunch or the half an hour breaks, like he's just getting hammered with people to come. So yeah, there was a female on Sunday that ran and did phenomenal and actually had the fastest time of the day. But we give out all of our awards on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, oh man, that's a bit of a bummer. So like,
yeah.
I ran down to see the spouses that were running the Modus booth. I'm like, do we have anything else to give out? And they're like, yep. I'm like, perfect. So I grabbed a snagger out of there and then went and gave it to her. And then about 40 minutes later, somebody beat that time. And we were out of snaggers to give away. Right. So I'm like, oh shit. And like, I actually had, so like when Modus was out here the last time we were doing the fire video, we all got one. In the department. So I'm like, you know what? I've got my old faithful. I'll run and grab my spare. I can grab another one if I need it. But so I ran and grabbed that. I'm like, hey, don't leave. I'll be back in 10. So I grabbed that and gave it to her. And yeah, she was just pumped. Right. So, but I think that was her second time running as well. So like she knew she could do better. Mm. I think she was saying she messed up on the hose couplings or something. So yeah like, there's a lot of places that you can stumble and kill valuable seconds.
Well, and the way we have that design is so they have to slow down, speed up, slow down.
Yeah.
It's not just brute force because you know, have to be finessing the hose couplings and we have multiple hose couplings. And,
Yeah. So that was an awesome event. People were running that. Like we had half of the sessions, like they were all packed up and. I'm walking so by, and they're still.
Then our guys are running.
They're still running it, yeah. So, like, I like the competition side of it. So even down on Force Entry with the two doors, you're kind of looking at the guy next to you, and like you've got a team of two over here, a team of two over here.
Yeah, there's a little bit of competition going on there.
Yeah, and then at the end of the session, if they've gone through all the rotations, now it's how fast can I get through this door as a single firefighter? So nice. They had two blocks up top, two on the bottom, oh, wow. And 22 seconds.
Was it? Well, that was our. Nice. That was Andrew.
It was Andrew. Yep. Yeah. So nice. he had the fastest in. So he's
gonna
our force entry guy.
Forcing all the entries.
Yeah. Yeah, like force entry was kind of like my jam. Like I love force entry.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man.
You're more of a soft entry guy.
Now I'm in my old age I'm more of a soft entry guy.
well we had an alarm call that we had an alarm call last week. So the truck gets out, he's like, I can force that door. I'm like, I know you can. He's like, I can force that door too. He's like, I know you can force all the doors.
But we're not
force the doors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, seminar. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we kind of move on?
No. Are we moving on?
So, and then done.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the only other thing, so we talked about weather that affected us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The other side of that is...
Two things that affected.
Right. So where we had all the rains...
I think we should talk about the guys before the seminar that got affected by the rains that couldn't even come.
Right.
Yeah, so, Cache Creek.
Yeah.
So they actually had to pull out. Probably, mm-hmm. Well, a couple weeks ago, or not even a week, I think a week before.
Yeah.
Hey, we can't come. We're like, well, why? And they're like, oh, the news tells us that you're as a river man.
So I will throw myself under the bus. We get this text like, hey, Cache Creek wants to back out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, so they don't come and we're keeping all their money.
And I'm like, oh, heartless. So you're like, what? I'm like, check the news.
He's like, so I look, I'm like, oh God, absolutely, like, yeah. Whatever they need. I just saw, you know, like, we just can't make it. I'm like, oh, like, sorry, but you don't buy concert tickets. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I can't make it. And then
we did have to, we did have to keep a little bit of the hard cost, but other than that, we gave them as much back as
possible.
So those guys, their fire hall, basically, there's a video of their basically a river running through.
Yeah, water running right through.
They lost power. The whole city lost power, yeah. The town, I guess. So they were in a bad way. I think I was reading the news today that the river is now going down.
It's rescinded a bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still don't know what that means for them and their fire department, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. There were some photos that looked pretty devastating of their department.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. And then up north, we have all the fires.
We do.
Port St. John area, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so there's some more wildfires up north, and I don't know how many departments.
I know two. Two left.
Two of them left during the banquet.
They go back for deployment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they got deployed up north, which is early, like May.
This is very early for deployments.
Yeah. Usually it's like
June.
Mid-June, early July, first departments start going out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on that, too, like with some of our Alberta friends and departments that were coming, so Alberta's on fire. So it's it's been really dry out there versus our wet weather.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a few notes here. So there's 87 active fires out there currently, just under 20,000 evacuees that are affected. Currently 1,500 Albertan firefighters, 200 more from the USA. We've got our military there. And then they said in a statement there's about 800 other firefighters and resources that are also deployed. So. That's a lot of bodies.
It's a lot.
I like the news. They've not yet hit the height of the fire season. I'm like, yeah, because it's May.
Yeah, exactly.
The height of the fire season is like August.
Yeah.
So this has been burning like Lac-La-Hache, Alberta or Edmonton area, and now also sounds like Drayton and north of Calgary. So
yeah,
it's getting pretty ugly.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Very unseasonably hot and dry.
Yeah.
Like Scott jokes about it, it's true. Like we're not even in the shit yet. So I got stopped by a guy actually at the old Canadian Tire today. And he's like, so how's the old fire season looking out there? He sees me wearing a shirt or whatever. And I'm like, here? And I'm like, we're just getting out of the floods. He's like, but like we burned over the last couple of years. Like it'll be fine, right? Like, that's not how that works. So, like, all of this rain and, like, flood, like, precipitation is just going to, amplify and, like...
I mean, there won't be any heavy timber burns, probably, because most of the timber is still going to be destroyed, but there's going to be a lot of quick grass fires.
The ground fuel.
Just different sections of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we always chat about the one section just to the north of us here. I mean, that's prime.
It's definitely burned because it's been 8 years or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, fingers crossed, but one day it's going to come. And
well, in this month, we're going to spend a lot of time. We're going to prep next week. We spent this last week in practice teaching the rookies on, catching them up on wildland firefighting. And then next week, we're going to check out all the pumps and all the wildland gear, make sure everything's up and running. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we'll probably do a little bit of scenario, and we'll be ready to roll for either deployment or for local deployment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. So that was kind of a seminar in a massive nutshell.
Yeah.
We've got jokingly the date for seminar 2025 up there.
That's 2025, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so
good luck to whoever runs it next time.
Yeah, May 2nd to 4th for the seminar 2025 committee. Yeah. We'll be here to help instruct. Maybe.
Wash my hands of it. Just kidding. No, I mean, literally, I was talking about life. We've been seven now mm-hmm. as part of the lead team, right? That's a lot. That's 14 years worth of these things. So it's like, we'll take a little step back.
I think that's fair, man.
Pass it on. I mean, it's a hard event to run. It's actually the weekend part's actually easy.
All the prep.
The prep. Even the week before is easy. Yeah. Like, it's hard work. It's hard work for physical labor, but it's the 3 or 4 months before that's the part that you have to have. It's difficult. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. Quickly before we move on too much further, we've spoken about both of them, but I really wanted to give major thanks to Fortis BC. Mm-hmm. Fortis came through like crazy, they always do. Many people were on site throughout the weekend. They had a couple of sessions. They had their LNG session and then the electrical emergencies. We dropped a car, dropped a pole over it.
Yeah.
Chatted about that, so that was really, really cool. And then obviously Modus was here.
Forrest also sponsored our shirts.
They did, yeah.
There's nothing marketing that Forrest, but Forrest helped us with their shirts and did the neck buffs.
Correct.
Swags. And then obviously did some signage for us and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so big, big thanks to them. And then again, big, big thanks to Modus.
Yeah.
Luke, Paul, amazing team. They've been supporting us like crazy. We haven't had the opportunity to have both of them together.
No. One of them's coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So pretty excited about that. So we're going to continue to work with that team, and we're super, super excited about the future of them.
Just a chance that we did one prototype we talked about already with the the marking panel, but then also we prototyped their tactical vests.
That's right.
Their plate carrier vest.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to prototype that, and it went over really well. So
yeah,
we're kind of like the prototype. We test their stuff, and then actually Adam and Glenn, I gave them a few wedges, and so they were giving me feedback on that. So I was telling them about that, trying to make it a little more sticky, and they had a heavy hitter and some of the lighter ones. So obviously the lighter, they're not really designed to be hit for an entire weekend
on a metal door
frame. On a metal door frame. Of course you're gonna get warped and bent and beat up. So as far as when I heard from Glenn, the heavy hitter actually held up really well.
Good.
Obviously the lighter ones aren't gonna hold up for that's a lot of action for those things.
Sure. It is.
So
big thanks to those guys there, both Fortis and Modus. We were running a giveaway contest over the course of the weekend leading up to and then over the weekend. Both of these people have been contacted, but we wanted to announce our two winners were Lee Solway and Colby Cullen. Congratulations to both of you there. We're actually looking at your gift pack just off camera here, but so that's going to get
back. Is it gonna come that nice grocery bag?
It's a super nice gift. It'll be, and that's why it's off camera.
Oh, and tape, right? That's shipping standards.
This is some shit now. thanks to everybody that took part in that. We're definitely happy to be able to reward the two there. Mm-hmm. And thanks for all the new follows, subscribes that we've been seeing come on through here leading up to the event and then after. And thanks to everybody that took a moment that does follow us over the course of the seminar to come up and say hi. I mean, obviously, we were running around like crazy. We had, like, our hands were pretty full from on set to the end of the day. But
I don't want to say I was rude, but I was friendly, but I wasn't like, hey, thanks. I was more like, oh, thanks. Cause I was like thinking about other things, trying to try to run a thing. And I think the one guy in line that was talking to me in that food line, I was like, oh yeah, thanks. So, like, thanks a lot. And then kind of carried on. I was like, oh, I probably should talk to them a little longer. So wherever you were, sorry.
Well, we were running like crazy. Like trying to rip through your seminar or your session, get everything ready to go again. Have a little bit of a break to go and chat with other people.
Yeah, as well. Talking that up a bit.
But thanks to everybody for making the time to come up to us, approaching us, and talk to us about it. Thank you again for listening and following.
Oh, and thanks for buying the initial attack blend. Is that one?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of coffee drank.
There's a lot of coffee. So I think Friday night, Saturday night, there was a lot of other beverages drank. So every morning,
which means on the mornings, there was a lot of
caffeine. And just we'll chat about them quickly now before the shout outs. But Wolf Tree was on site for the entire weekend. We debuted to the masses the initial attack blend, which got rave reviews. They sold a crap ton. They poured I don't know how many cups. They kind of gave us a loose estimate of what that looked like. And they poured a lot of coffee, and ended up $2 per sale got donated to the Honor House Society. So that was really, really cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So check them out on all their social medias. It's Wolf Tree Coffee. It's out of Oliver, BC. They're doing deliveries up and down the Okanagan Valley. And I think they're gearing up for shipping as well. So, watch for that. So yeah, Wolf Tree.
I have an internet problem, so we're just going to go fast now, right?
Yeah, so we're having some internet connectivity issues here. So for shout-outs, we don't want to miss anybody. We really want to give them the time that they deserve. However, our little green light might drop off again here. So Wolf Tree, let's give them a like and a follow. Wolf Tree Coffee out of the Okanagan. We've obviously got Modus that we've chatted about at length here in many, many podcasts prior. Use discount code DTFF5 for any of their product. Amazing group. Watch for more of us working with them. Stop the Bleed.
Yeah, stopthebleed.org or .ca. Go check it out. You can see if you want to become an instructor. It'll give you the information to log in and Stop That Bleed. So tourniquet application, wound packing, and direct pressure.
I think every one of our shout-out was utilized this last weekend or during the seminar.
I think it was.
Because the next one is the RTAC. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nick, so they came with MCI, and they taught the MCI course for the weekend. Like you were saying, your daughter was in there.
Yep.
And then Tanner Olson.
Yeah, Country Music
out of the West Coast of Canada, Chowak. Check them out on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lastly, you have us.
We're there too.
Oh, no. One more. The only place that wasn't represented is the Manscaped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well,
it was represented.
It was represented. You just couldn't see it.
Yeah, <exactly. laughs> Thank God you could not see it.
Although this weekend you all saw it. But anyways, that's a whole different
story. That's a whole different story. Manscaped, we're using a lot of their product. We've got the lawnmower 2.0, 4.0, sorry.
4.0.
We've got Weed Whacker 2.0. Using some of their like crop mops and some of the other rejuvenator products. Working out really, really well. We're loving the product. It's actually one of our giveaways. We're giving away some of the Manscaped product there as well. Ties into the firefighter cancer awareness, keeping that whole area clean. A lot of the absorption happens from the groin region. So keeping that area clean and tidy allows you to clean easier afterwards as well. So give them a quick check out, and discount code DTFF20 gets 20% off with free shipping.
Your balls will thank you.
Your balls will thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lastly is us.
And lastly now is us. You made it this far. I'll be surprised. But thanks a lot for tuning in. Again, thanks for everybody that came up and took the time to give us a quick hi and a chat at the seminar. And for everybody that reaches out, everybody that took part in our giveaway challenge. Yeah, we really appreciate you. Find this on all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. This will be up on YouTube as well. If you're listening on our, on your regular podcast platforms, give us a like, share, subscribe, helps us get out in front of more people. And if you're on the Facebooks, and you're following our old page, make sure you've switched over to the new, all of our content and information will be pushed over to the new page. We're still going to keep the old one active for a while.
Then we're going to start putting those Rickrolls on there.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to put on there from now on.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Anyways, that's all.
All right. I guess that's it for Scott.
All right.
Done.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. As always, stay safe. Stay GTFF.